Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Something you would have wanted, but because of the grief he felt, knowing what Jerusalem, the condition of Jerusalem and that it was in ruins, he wanted to go back. He received permission to do that, and in chapters 2 and 3, we see how that comes about. We see that he takes this ride at nighttime looking at the ruins of the wall. And then we get to chapter 3. Now, if you look at chapter 3, you will see something that might be a little bit intimidating, maybe even a little discouraging. It's a list of names. And we don't always like to read through lists of names. It's hard for us. Sometimes the names are hard for us to pronounce. We don't know exactly if we're pronouncing them the right way or not. We don't have a real connection necessarily with some of these individuals that we might never have heard of before. And it's easy to skip over the names. It's easy to skip over a genealogy, for instance, in the book of Chronicles, or 1st or 2nd Chronicles, or maybe the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, and you just sort of scan through until we get to something that might be a little more understandable for us. But what we see in chapter 3 isn't just a list of people's names. It's really a powerful example of individuals working together. You could probably look at a history of your family, and there would be names in there that you might not recognize. And if you went back on Ancestry.com or you did some research into your own ancestors, you might find names that are generations and generations back that you don't even recognize. But they'd be interesting because you had a connection to them. And the same thing is true for us. We have a connection to those who we're reading about. As we read just a few of these, and we won't read all the verses in Nehemiah chapter 3, but as we see people begin to rebuild the wall, I also want to remind us that what Nehemiah is doing is not rebuilding a physical wall. This is not just a construction project. This is a spiritual rebuilding of the people of God. And if we can understand that, we can better understand why it's so powerful to see what happens. But in verse 18 of Nehemiah chapter 2, we read Nehemiah saying, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. And then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. And as we see this beginning, verse 1 of chapter 3 shows us what exactly that looked like. Read along with me, if you would, beginning in verse 1. Then Eliashib the high priest arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and to the tower of Hananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachar the son of Imri built. Now the sons of Hasanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hekaz, made repairs. And next to him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Mishezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, the son of Bana, also made repairs. Moreover, next to him, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not support the work of their masters. Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Basodeiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. Next to them, Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, also made repairs for the official seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to him, Uzziel the son of Harahiah of the goldsmiths made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Let's pause right there for just a moment. There's a phrase that came up over and over again just in those first 8 verses. And did you catch that? The idea of individuals working side by side, next to him. Here's one family working, and next to them, someone else is building, and next to him, someone else was building. And you have this incredible picture of unity and building that's taking place as they rebuild these walls. This isn't a list of names that is separated from us. We have a connection with them because they're rebuilding the people of God. And as the people of God today, we're connected. And so what do we learn about this project? We see that everyone built. Everyone took part in this building project. It wasn't just a specific group of people. It wasn't just set out for those who might have had experience in construction. And we don't necessarily know if this wall looked all that intimidating or maybe very professionally made, but we know that people were banding together to do the work. And it's interesting to me that at the very beginning, Eliashib the high priest arose with his brothers, the priests. And so here you have these priests who were building. And they're not necessarily skilled in construction. This is not their field, but they're taking the lead. They're stepping up spiritually and taking the lead with the people. And not only that, but when they built this gate, the sheep gate, they consecrated it, hung its doors, they consecrated the wall. You get this sense of them building it and then almost dedicating it to use for God and for His people. So you have all kinds of people building. Now we do have tucked away in verse 5 a reminder that not everybody is working hard. In fact, the nobles of the Tekoites didn't support the work of their masters. Have you noticed that whenever there's a project, more than likely there will be some people who just won't get involved? There'll be some people who just won't build. It's not new with us. It's not new with our culture. It existed back then. Even in this incredible picture of unity, there were some people who weren't going to build. But this list of workers contains an incredible amount of diversity. Diversity in occupation, in background. You have the priests, also the men of Jericho. Remember, Jericho would have been a good distance from Jerusalem, but men of Jericho came. And later on, we see workers of other surrounding cities that are mentioned. You probably also noticed the references to perfumers, perfume makers, goldsmiths, merchants, people who would not have had an expertise in the construction profession. This was not what they did, but because everyone was rising up and building, they were doing their part. City officials are mentioned throughout this chapter. Individuals who rule over certain areas or certain districts of Jerusalem. You even have a city guard that's mentioned as being part of the work here. You have the daughters of Shalom. You have women that are mentioned here taking part in this. And at this time, women would not have been expected to take part in this kind of manual labor, and yet they're getting involved and they're working with that as well. Temple servants are taking ownership for the area near where they lived. And they're working. It didn't matter what anyone did for a living or what their background was. There was a mission that needed to be accomplished. A wall needed to be built. And everyone was pitching in and doing their part. I think that's powerful. I think that's powerful for us as we think about ourselves, a congregation of the people of God today, the 21st century, living in this area, reaching out to this community. There's a powerful message here. Because if we want to reach out to others and accomplish the mission of God in our time, it's going to take all of us working together. And in a group this large, in a congregation this large, we have several different backgrounds. And your experiences are different than my experiences. And we can share all kinds of these differences, but in doing that, we also remind ourselves this diversity can give us strength as we work. It depends on our situation as to what exactly we can do. I know there are many members of our congregation that would love to be able to do more, but there are some physical limitations. And maybe you used to be able to do more, and now you're limited by a physical situation or by a family situation. But I want to encourage you, even if you feel like you're working in maybe a somewhat limited capacity, your work matters. Your encouragement matters. Even if the things you might have done, now they have to be changed, and maybe rather than making a lot of visits to encourage people, you're able to write cards to do that same thing. Let me tell you, those cards matter. Receiving those cards makes a difference. Maybe you feel more at home working with the service project rather than helping teach a class. Well, let me tell you, your service makes a difference. All of our work matters. And sometimes we are involved in ministry, and it's hard for us to exactly see when we're in the trenches every week to see the results that come down the road. And we know we may never see some of the results that take place from our work. But I mentioned in the bulletin this week a conversation with Doug Williams in discussing the jail ministry. And there are many inmates there that are being taught each week by individuals from this congregation. And many of them hear about Graymere, and they do that because of giveaway day, because of the outreach center and the clothing ministry that's there, because of our benevolence ministry, those volunteers who work every week to be part of that. Here are all these ministries, and maybe we don't even see the full reach, the full impact that each one of them has, but our work matters. And it matters that all of us work together. I love the idea of this diversity of people, and really all the 32 verses of this chapter are filled with different kinds of people that are working together. And it reminds us that we're all going to have different gifts. We're all going to have different abilities that God has given us. In the New Testament, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians, one of the issues they're dealing with is division over spiritual gifts. They're living in a time where they have these miraculous gifts from God to confirm His message, and some of them are more caught up in what kinds of gifts they have. And so they really want the gift of tongue speaking. That's the most dynamic. That's the showiest. That's the most impressive of the gifts. But more than once, Paul encourages them that they need to love each other. They need to realize that it's not about trying to have the showiest or flashiest gift. It's about finding the message of God and serving Him. And you know, when we start to look at others and when we start to size other people up based on our own abilities and talents, then it's very easy to sort of be judgmental. For example, there might be something that I have a hard time doing that comes very easy to you. And it might be easy for someone to look at me and say, well, he can't do this. You know, I mean, come on, everybody knows how to do this. Well, that might not be true. There may be some abilities that you have, and you're the only person in this congregation, or you're one of the few people in the congregation that could really do that. And so we don't need to be sizing each other up and saying, well, I can do this, and this person can do this. We have a diversity of abilities and talents that God's given us. What matters is that we work together. And there's nothing like a common goal to unify servants of God. And it's important for me to know that when we work, and when we work as a congregation, it's God who's working through us. This is a powerful passage. But Nehemiah leaves no doubt in Nehemiah 2 and verse 18 that God was the one who was causing all of this to happen. And I hope that we, as we work together as a congregation, don't have any illusion that we've done it ourselves, but that God has worked through us. I'm always struck with what Mordecai told Esther. In the book of Esther, Esther's in this incredible position where she could go in and she could intervene on behalf of her people, the Jews, and keep a command from being carried out the way it was worded that would have left them defenseless, that could have caused her whole nation to be wiped out. And Mordecai is encouraging her to take a stand and do something very dangerous, to walk into the throne room of a king without being invited. But he reminds her that even if she doesn't do this, God will raise up deliverance from another place. In other words, it's God who's doing this work, and it's God who's taking care of this people. And so our work is important, but none of us are more important than the Lord that we serve. He's working through us, and we're working together. Everyone built and serving the Lord today, everyone needs to be working and building. And everyone built in their area. I think it's a neat picture that we have different individuals and families who are listed here. And we don't know exactly what the division of labor was. We don't know just exactly how Nehemiah set that out. But we do see that there's some organization that had to take place in order to make that possible. If you look at these verses on the screen, you'll notice that many of them are working in areas that are near where they live. Notice verse 28. Above the horse gate, the priest carried out repairs, each in front of his house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, carried out repairs in front of his house. And after him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, carried out repairs. After him, Hanani, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zelaph, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, carried out repairs in front of his own quarters. Isn't that interesting? They're working in front of where they live. I think that paints a pretty vivid picture that we can apply. We can take that picture, I believe, and apply it to our own service. Because when it comes to building up the church, it starts with us individually, with us in our family, with our family members and friends, our sphere of influence. That's where we work. We work where we live. You can read a lot of different books about church growth and about exactly what churches need to do. But the bottom line is, if we want our congregation to grow spiritually, if we want to reach others, it begins with us individually, where we are. And if I'm a parent and if I'm leading a family, then it begins with my family and taking care of my family and helping my family to grow. It begins with me as an individual growing spiritually. Starting where we are, what would happen if every single one of us had a renewed focus on working where we live? Building up the Lord's church where we live. Building up this congregation from where we are. If all of us do that at once, it's an incredible effect. Our church family is made up of several different families with different backgrounds and family makeups and personalities. It begins with our own families. Everyone builds in their area. Think for just a moment about your daily sphere of influence, your daily life, the people that you come in contact with every day. It's pretty likely that there are no two individuals that are here tonight that come in contact with the same group of people every single day, day in and day out. Because of our jobs, because of our roles, because of our pre-existing friendships, all of us have relationships, and some of those relationships, we're the only member of this congregation that could reach that person. What if we started where we are, with what's right in front of us? What if that was our mission field? What if that's where we're working and that's where we're building? Everyone builds in their area. And then what's also instructive to us is they all built together. Everyone built together. They built the wall. If you look at this passage, you'll be reminded of that phrase that comes up over and over again, or something similar to it. Next to him and next to them. They're all building together. And sometimes it's easy for us to get in a routine and maybe even forget what we're doing and working together. And realizing that as a church, we don't talk about Graymere Church of Christ saying, well, they do this at church, or they've made this decision, that we do this. This is our church. We're part of a church family. We're working together. And so I just want us to pause for a few minutes tonight and think about what we are building together as a congregation. If we had a list with that connecting phrase next to him, it might sound something like this. This year we had 30 to 40 people every Thursday night who would gather at the lodge to take classes with the School of Biblical Studies, learn more about God. And next to them, we had people travel to India, Peru, and Arizona. Preachers were encouraged. Classes were taught. Services were led. Projects were accomplished. Community members were reached. People were baptized. And next to them, we have men and women who go to the prison each week for our jail ministry. And as a result of those studies, we have several that desire to be baptized. And we're just waiting for that opportunity where they will let us come and do that. And next to them, we have numerous individuals that come in each week and answer the many correspondence courses we get in the mail every day. If you could see the mail that we receive in the office, correspondence courses from the States, from abroad, and we have dedicated teachers who are corresponding with them, giving them answers to information, and reaching people all over the world. And next to them, we have individuals that come in every week to work with our benevolence ministry, helping families in need. Our benevolence voicemail is often filled with requests and with needs that are there. And so these volunteers patiently work through that. And they do such a good job helping us use our funding in the best way possible to bless others. And next to them, our outreach center weekly gives clothing to people who need it. Sometimes this is the only impression they have of our church family, or us providing this kind of clothing. And next to them, we have several who banded together to host our annual singing this year. It allowed us to praise God and to fellowship with others, and there was encouraging that was going on between Christians from all kinds of different congregations. And next to them, there were several people who stepped up and made a preaching workshop, a youth minister's retreat, CBI possible. Ministers from over 100 congregations came to those events. There were over 100 different congregations that were blessed because of the work in those events. And next to them, many of our married couples took part in the marriage retreat this year, designed to strengthen relationships. A few members of a Bible class took the initiative to make that retreat happen, and it blessed a lot of people. And next to them, we've celebrated those who have graduated and who have gone on to college. We had a banquet to remember what they had done, and also we have a secret pal program that lets them know we're still connected to them. And next to them, many work hard to make our future ministers camp and our spiritual growth camp possible. There was a record number of young men this year who were involved in that, so much that we had to start another camp in West Tennessee. This was the first year of a girls program that had an outstanding time. And next to them, our ladies ministry remains active with ladies Bible classes that are reaching others, with a secret sisters program that does more than just provide a way to give gifts, but allows women to encourage each other. And next to them, different groups of people prepared and delivered food for our meal ministry. An incredible amount of people receive meals and are affected by this. And next to them, we had teachers and workers who banded together to teach our children in Vacation Bible School. And seeds were planted there that can change lives. And next to them, many of our senior adults have enjoyed fellowship and ministry and activities and spiritual growth that blesses many. And next to them, we have several parents and volunteers that have worked along with our youth ministry to help make our youth ministry something that blesses the lives of our children. And next to them, we have individuals working with Lads to Leaders, helping our young people be trained for the future. And next to them, many took care of needs for our widows and widowers. We have a newly revamped ministry that allows us to serve others better. And next to them, fellowship opportunities like bridal and baby tees have allowed us to celebrate times in the lives of others and show our love. And next to them, visitation groups come together each week to discuss how to reach and to encourage each other. And next to them, we have special Sundays, events where we invite others, showing them hospitality and bless lives. And next to them, members put in long hours to make giveaway day a blessing in our community, to have families provide things for their children that they might not be able to provide before. Following that up with a trunk or treat that had over 1,500 guests come into our parking lot and to meet us. And next to them, we have events for families like our family movie nights or our youth troop that was formed this year that's helping connect children with God and with each other and with families. This doesn't even include 1,000 other jobs that go on behind the scenes. Have you thought about what it takes to prepare a building for a worship service or to prepare communion or to make sure everything's in order, to teach a Bible class every single week, or a Bible connection on Sunday nights? I say all this to remind us we're building something that's bigger than just ourselves. I tried to put together a fairly comprehensive list of just this year what this congregation has done, and yet I'm sure I left some things out. There are probably things that I don't know that are happening behind the scenes, things you are doing in an effort to serve God. We're building something that's bigger than us, and it's bigger than just a physical structure. Just like Nehemiah was building something more than a wall. Do you really believe that we're building something bigger than just a list of activities? Do you really believe that we're building something that could affect people's eternity? I hope that you do. We're reminded in this chapter, a list of names, that individuals were building. They were building together. They were banding together, focused on a common purpose. And it didn't matter what their background was. They started with what was in front of their home where they were living. They worked together and they built. Let's continue working. Let's continue building. We're going to see as we study what happens with Nehemiah and the people. They can't always control the circumstances. And we can't control our circumstances. There are a lot of things that are beyond our control. Maybe things we'd like to be different that aren't. There might be things in our community we wish could be different. There might be things around us that we wish could be different. Let's focus on what we can control. We can control whether or not we're working and building together. In making this list of all the different things that take place, I was incredibly encouraged. I hope you were too, in just seeing how many different people are impacted and how many are involved. Let's continue that. Let's keep that up. If you haven't found a way to plug in, I'd encourage you to do so. And as we think about those who become members of this congregation, there's a question that many of them are asking. I spoke with a minister a couple of weeks ago who had a friend that he knew move into the area, and he worshiped with their congregation, and he asked him, he took him to lunch afterward and said, "I want to have your impression of what you noticed about our congregation." And there were some very positive impressions that were made, but one question that this individual had was, "I kept wondering, where would we fit in? What would we do here? How would we work here?" I think people are asking that question. They want to know when they come into worship with us, where would I fit in? How could I get plugged in and work? If you have that question tonight, or if you run into someone that does, can I remind you that there's always room for fellow builders as we're working together? There are always things that people can be plugged into. We are building something bigger than just ourselves. We're building for the Lord. And hopefully we're building up a people of God to serve Him. It's more than just a list of names. Just like looking down our church directory, to us is more than just a list of names. It's family. It's people who are working alongside. And it may be that you want to make that choice tonight to be part of that family. That you want to be a fellow builder. That as we ask ourselves the question, are we working together? It may be that you need to join into that work. If you need to do that, if you need to put Christ on in baptism and begin building with us, we hope that you would. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. There's nothing else that we could share with you that's more valuable than the message of the gospel of Christ. Or it may be that there's an issue in your life that you just need help and encouragement. It's not easy to share things that are hard for us to talk about, but it is a blessing to have individuals that pray with us and for us. If we can help you, please let us know as we stand and as we all sing together.